Welcome to part two of Queer Music Heritage. This is J.D. Doyle, and it's my June 2009 show, the one I call my Songs I've Been Meaning to Play show. And I opened with a brand new song by an all-transgender band from London called The Treacles. Their song, Sparkle, was written in honor of the National Transgender Celebration called Sparkle, which will be held in July in Manchester, England. This is the 8th edition of Songs I've Been Meaning to Play, and this next song has been on my list for years, and I just never got around to including it. It's from 1998 and is called My Lover Man, and I think you'll figure out who the artist is.
You treated me hard and made my heart ache. I know you're only human, and men they make mistakes. Your life with her turned to black, and now you want our love. Will come into my arms and fall, my lover man.
Was it the gypsy's curse or a hex sign? Was it just that simple thing that led you from these arms of mine? Oh yes, I've had the days to grow used to your foolish ways. And what is it really after all, my lover man? I can see the change in your eyes. There's no need to apologize. We stood at the wishing well. Our dreams like coins and the water fell. The water so cold and black. There was no going back. I don't mean to cause you hurt or cause you pain. But life is short and love's a dirty game. Now there's no need for our game to end. Come close and we'll begin. Find our beautiful selves again, my lover man. My lover man. My lover man.
Of course, that was Bruce Springsteen, and he recorded it in 1990, though it did not surface until his Tracks box set was released in 1998. He's never commented much on the song, but told one interviewer that some of the songs that appeared for the first time on that release were, quote, very psychological portraits of people wrestling with relationships and their own isolation. This next song is wrestling with losing so many friends to AIDS, and its writer is definitely not known for his singing. Howard Ashman himself died of AIDS in 1991 at age 40, but in his too short career, he and his writing partner Alan Menken won 2 Grammys, 2 Golden Globes, and 2 Oscars, working on such films as Little Shop of Horrors, The Little Mermaid, Beauty and the Beast, and Aladdin. The record label PS Classics, which specializes in cast albums, also has a songwriter series, which showcases writers interpreting their own material, and one of those releases is on Howard Ashman. It includes a song he wrote in 1983, not intended for any musical project, but just because he needed to write it. It's called Sheridan Square.
With a corner to catch the subway, and a corner to buy cigars, and a corner to wait for the times to come out, and a corner to lean on cars. It was something just left to the Mardi Gras when my friends and their friends were there. But it's getting much too quiet tonight on Sheridan Square. I'm sure that it must mean something, but it's really too soon to tell. When somebody's getting famous while nobody's getting well. And you can send my regrets to the party. I'd like to make it, but just don't dare. And why is it still so quiet tonight on Sheridan Square. Johnny and Steve and Martin, and the list that goes on too long. Dennis and Bill and Ari, you're the reason I wrote this song. Some of the boys have panic, but none of the boys leave town. They say we're on the good ship Titanic. We're gonna sing till the boat goes down. And if it ended before it started, well, no one told us that life is fair. And why is it still so quiet tonight on Sheridan Square? Another few pounds to share. We can make it until the sun comes up, and it will, over Sheridan Square.
Again, that was Howard Ashman, and I have another AIDS-inspired song to share with you, and it's brand new. One of my artist friends, Terry Christopher, has been executive producer on a recording called United for the Ride, Volume 1. That's a various artist CD he compiled to help the project called Breaking the Cycle. That's an annual bicycle ride with proceeds going to the LGBT Center of New York City and their various HIV/AIDS-based programs. 12 wonderful artists contributed songs to the recording, and if I start naming, I'll have to name them all. But you can find out more information at my site. The song that grabbed me the most is by Terry Christopher himself, called Breaking the Cycle.
Remaining, this fight still carries on. It's not take this fight on the road and two wheels rolling like thunder across the sky. I'm riding with a passion right down the street, so another friend won't die. Hope another friend won't die. And I'm just getting tired of the loss I've seen. Far too many people are gone. I'm doing my part and I fight this fight. And I ride on, ride on. And I ride on, ride on, yeah. Yes, I ride. Breaking the cycle. Breaking the cycle starts with me. I'm not backing down. I'm giving up till all of us are free, yeah. I'm breaking the cycle. Breaking the cycle starts with me.
On part one of the show, I promised more artist interviews, so let's start off with Levi Kreis. I've interviewed him several times over the years and always have a good time talking with him, and the occasion this time is his new album, Where I Belong.
Where I Belong is undoubtedly my favorite record that I've done in a whole lifetime of recording. It's gone back to my roots in gospel music and Southern soul. It feels more at home to me than any musical experience I've had.
So this is more back to your roots.
Yeah, and you know, I think having done the Million Dollar Quartet for the last 2 years has reminded me of a lot of influences that I had growing up that I forgot was so definitive of how I play the piano and how I sing. That's played into, you know, so many of the songs on the album, certainly the album being, you know, that is surrounded by the piano, and every track was started by just me and drums and a bass. And I wanted to make sure that that was the core of every song, so that the roots, my history and the way I learned to play would hopefully translate in throughout the album.
I know your roots. When I first played it, I wondered, are these old recordings from when you were in college?
Oh, that's a great, I love that. I'll take that as a compliment, because that was really one of the goals I had, especially songs like Nothing at All. I would listen to those old Ray Charles and Aretha Franklin recordings that influenced me as a kid, and I literally tried to recreate that feeling of being there in the old studios in the 50s where everybody played at the same time. And it was one pass through with everything. And that's the way we recorded the album, too. So that's a huge compliment that you would say that, because that's exactly what I was going for.
Some of my listeners would want to know, what's the deal with the two songs that sound heterosexual?
Oh, with This Girl and Ain't Nobody. Well, I have a really fun story for both of them. First of all, Ain't Nobody. One of my old girlfriends happens to be Monique from High School Musical. She's the African-American girl in the main cast. And prior to her getting her gig at High School Musical, we were friends and we were hanging out one day, and she was telling me, she says, Levi, I always listen to Standing Tall before an audition. It just helps me have confidence. It helps me go and do the very best job that I can. And I said, Mo, that's quite a compliment. I'm going to write you your own song to listen to prior to auditions. And so I actually wrote that for my girlfriend Mo, for her to listen to and help motivate her even when she's not in a mood to go in and wow the pants off casting directors or whoever she might be seeing, that she could listen to that song and hopefully really believe that she's got something special that only she can give.
Sing a pretty melody, hoping the words will be the remedy. your way in a day with originality doesn't pay the bill. And outside it's raining and you're feeling ill. Sometimes it feels like it all amounts to nothing. What well, but I'm here to tell you, babe, that you still got something.
Now, this girl's a little more complicated.
I thought so.
Yeah, it is, because we were in Seattle doing Million Dollar Quartet, and there was a girl in the cast, and, you know, simply put, I mean, we were very attracted to each other, and, you know, while I profess to be a proud gay man and would never pretend to ride any sort of bisexual fence in any way whatsoever, I have had three different women in my life, and her being the fourth, where I genuinely felt this admiration turn into something sexual, and it did, and it was really funny to me because at this point here I'm known as an out gay singer-songwriter, that I would find myself so thrown into attraction to this girl that I wrote this girl kind of making fun of myself and also kind of conveying that, well, you know, we're all human, and I do believe that sexuality is as individual as a fingerprint. And I know a lot of us, you might have known them too, JD, there's these guys who we know are heterosexual, but at this particular time in their life, there's something that they relate to with us, and they want to have an intimate experience with us, but we really do know them well enough to know that that was an exploration and it doesn't make them gay. And it's the same instance, but you flip the coin and you got a gay guy having an experience with a woman. So I thought it would be fun to write about.
I won't profess to be something I'm not, but sometimes the unexpected really thickens the plot. I can stand in the mirror, buck naked, scratching your head. And now animal attraction is a powerful beast. It'll hunt you down when you expect it the least. But I never made a little blonde fix and that can mangle my heart. She got me sick to my stomach, got me taking my noggin apart. Hey, cause this girl got me acting kinda silly. This girl make my head a little dizzy. This girl got me thinking about doing things, and I can't help it that this girl got me grabbing in the mirror. This girl got to think a little clearer. I don't know, I can't tell you why, but I ain't gonna lie, I stick it on this girl.
And what was your favorite song on the album?
It changes, but, you know, Going to Be All Right has always been, I always keep coming back to that song because that's probably the oldest song on the album. There's two songs that I wrote a while back. As you know, Stained Glass Window was written, you know, I think probably 2002 or 2003 with Del Shores and the play Southern Baptist Sissies. But Going to Be All Right, I wrote before I was signed to Atlantic Records back in 2003, and it had been years of being the struggling artist and the ramen noodles and no ability to pay your electric bill. You can't fix your car. It's broken down. You know, being even homeless for a little stint. I mean, really moving from Tennessee and saying, I'm going to do my music and dealing with that struggle. It was the darkest time in my life where I have to look back and realize if I'm really going to look at all those dark moments in my life, I have to see that the universe has always provided an answer for me. It's always come to me eventually. You know, it's simple, but it's something that I just keep coming back to over and over that helps me.
Hey.
gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. It's alright. Yeah, hey, everything's gonna be alright. Everything's gonna be alright. It's
phone in 14 days. The automated voice on my machine says, mailbox full, please call again. Or the message is, hi honey, have you disappeared? You Scorpios are really weird. Maybe that's why I can't shake the funk I'm in. I think the only thing that's keeping me alive is a good cup of coffee and songs in the key of life. But I know, be alright, everything's gonna be alright, it's alright. Hey, 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 everything's gonna be alright, everything's gonna be alright, it's alright. Some days I just gotta go.
I think somewhere along the way between The Gospel According to Levi and this album, Where I Belong, I think I went from being a songwriter to an artist, in that for the first time, not only do I understand who I am contextually, and I think I've always had a handle on that, but as far as the musical presentation of who I am, I feel like finally it's consistent, finally it's really true to who I am, and it's the absolutely the most natural sound that comes out of me. And I think this is the genre and the style with which this album translates is probably where I'm going to stay from now on.
It's also nice to hear Stained Glass Window on a CD finally.
Amen to that. You know, me and Dale Shores kept talking about having that on the soundtrack to Southern Baptist Sissies, but with all the Sordid Lives and with all the other projects he's been involved with, it just seems like that movie keeps pushing back and pushed back. And, you know, it got to a point where we were just like, we've got to get that out there because, as you know, JD, that has been a song that I have never not had consistent requests. There's always an email in my inbox of someone who is asking me when that song's going to be available, and I'm so glad that I can now finally tell them.
That's the first song I heard you sing.
It's true. I remember that because you were there in the audience.
Right, right.
Yeah.
2010.
At the Zephyr Theater.
Yes.
Wow. And we've been through it, haven't we, man? That's a long time ago.
I've been following you a long time.
I loved that I got to see you in Texas, too.
I was talking to Rich Overton a couple weeks ago, and he asked me what I thought. And I insisted I call him rather than email him.
Right, right.
And I said, okay, this is about 50% gospel and about 20% heterosexual.
Yeah. You told me you said that. I thought that was awesome.
Well, he knows, you know too, what a purist I am.
Yes, yes, yes. And I was looking forward to hearing, you know, I was looking forward to our conversation about it because I was curious as to how the album would be experienced by the ears of J.D. Doyle and from song 1 to song 12, what that journey is for you. You always take the time to really, you know, you always have a thorough opinion about what you experience from music, and that's one of the reasons why I was anxious to talk to you.
I don't run out of opinions. I love the album. You always sound terrific. And even songs, you know, I think for someone who may not be particularly religious, they can groove on these songs.
Good, good. You're right. There is a heavy spiritual nature to this album, and I really wanted it to be in the vein of something that everybody, whether you're religious, whether you're not, whether you're Baptist, whether you're Buddhist, could still relate and have the impact, the benefit of being inspired. So I hope that I hope I've accomplished that.
I'm always amazed how good you are at interviewing.
Well, it's just because I don't do anything but talk, man, all the time. I probably don't let you get a word in edgewise. I just go.
Okay, we were talking about the song Stained Glass Window.
There's a rage way down inside me, a fire that's branded my soul, and it leaves me as one of the many, with a hate so hard to control. But I've seen that hate is not the answer. There's a time when we all must decide to step on up with wisdom and power, and say, children, let's give up the fight. Oh, consider this, for a moment or two of crimson red, you are ocean blue, we're just two, not many colors, and a stained glass window, and love is the light shot net through. Now you can't find a thousand explanations to demote my position with God. Oh, but I've discovered a divine resolution. Oh, Lord, I'm embraced by the light of His love. Oh, oh, oh. Consider this, oh, oh, for my moment or two. You are ocean blue, oh Lord, with the soup of many colors in a stained glass window.
Shining, shining.
Another artist I admire is Julie Clark. She recently released her second album called Change Your Mind.
Well, I think this collection of songs reflects a big step forward for me in terms of songwriting. The songs are extremely personal, and yet I'm finding that the feelings are universal for other people, too. You know, getting that kind of feedback is really encouraging artistically. So that's been the best thing about, you know, having this album out there now is the feedback I'm getting, and that it makes me feel like I'm on track.
What has been the reaction to the song, If It Weren't For That?
That has been overwhelming. I mean, people will email me and say they just can't get past that song, you know, that they just play it again and again and cry. And for people who have had the experience of feeling like they are wrong in the world, you know, that they don't fit in, or there's something either wrong with them or wrong about them, or that they don't measure up, it doesn't even have to be the same issue. For me, that issue was my weight. But, you know, if you were sort of unacceptable in any way, that song, I think, has the capacity to resonate with you and just, you know, bring back how painful it was to, you know, to feel like you weren't measuring up, that you weren't good enough, that there was something wrong with you. And, you know, in our community, you can feel that way simply because you're gay. Anyway, that song, even though it's very personal, it's really proven to be universal to people for a lot of different reasons. And, you know, a number of the reviews of the CD have called out that song as the one to download, that kind of thing. I guess I just hear a lot from people that they appreciate that I was willing to share that.
She was born in 66, enjoyed 5 whole years of childhood bliss before the issue could no longer be dismissed. I said, you can't have this, Julie, you don't need that. Yes, your sister gets one, but you're too fat. Your age start paying attention to girls. They like the ones who are lean and graceful, Julie, not overweight and clumsy, that's for sure. Tough discrimination, Julie. Employers don't want to hire a slob. Thank you.
Courage of Our Convictions is another standout song on the album.
Courage of Our Convictions is a song that has kind of a life and meaning of its own that's very special to me. You know, I have like one foot in the gay and lesbian music world and the other very squarely in the mainstream modern folk world. And so for me to put a gay rights song on a CD, I'll confess that it takes a bit of courage, you know, to put that on there. It's like other artists are quite militant and they would never, it doesn't take courage, you know, not at all. But for me, I guess it does, you know, it does take a bit of courage to put that out there and to be so openly, you know, just so openly gay, even in the mainstream music world that I'm singing about equal rights. But, you know, I'm glad to say that I'm up for it.
My dear brothers and sisters too, working to make a change long overdue.
Well, well, well,
we're gonna fight for freedom. Yeah, yeah, we're gonna fight for love. We're gonna fight 'cause nothing less than equal's good enough. It's gonna take our time. It's gonna take the courage of our convictions. Hey, 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 yeah. We're gonna need our families. We're gonna need our friends. We're gonna need a much higher power that transcends.
Oh, oh,
before it's over.
You know, sometimes on QMH, I do play straight artists, if there's a gay connection, such as with the band The Lemonheads. Years ago, I played their quite well-known song, Big Gay Heart, from 1993. I recently found that they have another song that fits. It's from 1990 and is much harder to track down. It's on a German import recording called Favorite Spanish Dishes. You'll know the song.
can't see the forest for the trees. Don't get me wrong, it's not that I knock it, it's just that I'm not in the market for a boy who wants to love only me. Yes, and I ain't saying you ain't pretty. All I'm saying is I'm not ready for any person, place, or thing. Try and pull the reins in on me. So goodbye. I'll believe and I see no sense. Just crying and grieving. We both live a lot longer if you live without me.
Well, he walked up to the truck and he asked me for my driver. I knew that he was mine, so I gave him all the love that I had. And one day he took me home to meet his mom and his dad. Found out that's how she done it too. A lead foot and a Subaru. How we laughed when we all knew. And then he frisked me. And then he kissed me.
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 After Different Drum by the Lemonheads was an interesting take on the Crystals song. It's called Then He Kissed Me and Then He Frisked Me. Longtime listeners of QMH know that I just love gay cover versions of girl group songs of the 60s. That one was from an act called HouseOfPhallus.com. And I find it ironic that a group that would call itself that from only 3 years ago would not still have its own website. But you can find them on YouTube doing a song from the CD called Sail the Seven Seas on My Knees, which doesn't take a lot of imagination to figure out. Oh yeah, their CD is called Don't Feed or Tease the Straight People. Here's a song a little in the same spirit, also for internet-only airing. Terry Guy's working on his debut album, and I want to thank him for sending me an MP3 of his song, He Really Likes Me.
Show you're gonna try it and you won't stop. You're gonna fuck me, then fuck off. And then he kissed me and then he hugged me. He really likes me, he wants to take me. He wants to hold me, he wants to squeeze me. He wants to love me, he wants to fuck me. So is it back to yours or mine? You say everything's gonna be just fine. I'm not stupid, I can see the signs. You don't wanna taste, you wanna 69, yeah. To know me, but first you wanna get sexy. Why is it guys like you get up on dishonesty? Real guys like me are not scatty. And yeah, he kissed me and yeah, he hugged me. He really likes me. He didn't take me. He didn't hurt me. He didn't squeeze me. He never loved me, but he fucked me. He really likes me.
Yeah, yeah.
He really, really likes me.
Yeah, yeah.
He really likes me.
Yeah, yeah.
He really, really
Time to finish up part two of Songs I've Been Meaning to Play, but there's more to come. I'm closing with an artist who lives in London. I met him when he was part of the Homo Revolution tour, which came through Houston in 2007. He goes by the name Q-Boy, and he's just released his first full-length album called Moxie. It's digital download only, but that's kind of a sign of the times. This track features Tina G and is called Coming Out to Play.
Fabulous, all bundled, a guest list. So much rapid ass, sipping free drinks at the bar we lick. A fella chucks me up, I'm a star, he thinks. Don't care for talk, off the conversation to the dance floor. Walk, I'll put you three paces.
I came here to party, and I know you did too. Get on the dance floor and get down to the groove. I came here to party, and I know you did too. Get on the dance floor and get down to the groove.
Keep on making moves to the neat beat. Keeps you out your seat, on your feet in the disco line. It's party time, seek someone fine, grab their behind. Grind and groove to the disco tune. Wiggle that rump and move your shoes. Shake out your stresses and gorgeous dresses. Feel free to love and share your kisses. You can feel the tension of the day fall away. That's why we play all day till Sunday. You can join the party at any time. We're here from sunrise until the next night. I wanna get hot on the dance floor. Give me my boom bop pop, cause the beat don't stop.
You can ring my bell.
To doze and listen, apply lip gloss in the mirror ball and listen. Strap up your clothes and get freaky. The fun we like to have is weekly. So Monday to Thursday, tell your friends once Friday's here, we can start again.
I came here to party and I know you did too. Get on the dance floor and get down to the groove. I came here to party and I know you did too. Get on the dance floor and get down to the groove.
Bet you didn't expect a bonus track. Well, I wanted to sneak in a very catchy and controversial song by a straight artist from the UK named Lily Allen. The song is from her 2009 album It's Not Me, It's You, but was released as a single about a year earlier and just caught fire. There are a number of very creative homemade videos uploaded to YouTube of the song. It's about homophobia and more generally about George W. Bush. It's called Fuck You.
Look inside your tiny mind.
then look a bit harder. Cause we're so uninspired, so sick and tired of all the hatred you harbor. So you say it's not okay to be gay. Well, I think you're just evil. You're just some racist who can't tie my laces. Your point of view is medieval. Get slew. No one wants your opinion.